Come receive the light radio program, spreading joy, hope, and salvation in Jesus Christ while exploring issues of Orthodox Christianity in contemporary American society. This National Orthodox Christian radio program is presented from St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now let's join our hosts of today's Come Receive the Light, Father Christopher Metropolis and Emmy Louveris.
And good day to you, Father.
Good day, Emmy. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you have a good week?
It's been a tough week, it is a good week.
Okay, good. We hope our listeners that are tuning in have come to receive the light, pardon the pun, and we have a fabulous show prepared for you today.
We certainly do.
Of course, our guest is His Eminence Metropolitan Methodius of the Greek Orthodox Diocese of Boston. He has some special words to share with us about his journey into the priesthood, mm-hmm. and then also the Diocese of Boston. And we want to thank, of course, all our new listeners up in the Diocese of Boston. There was an article, I'm told, this week in the Hellenic Voice that mm-hmm. talked about his interview and about our radio program. So we're very excited about that. We have numerous stories today. Do you know some of the stories, the news stories?
Right. Well, there's always international news stories about Orthodoxy, and we're going to be hearing about Patriarch Alexei offering some thoughts on Vladimir Putin in Moscow.
Very good. And I know we're also going to be speaking about the Pope's visit. Again, there's a cloud. Whenever the Pope visits an Orthodox country, there seems to
be
a cloud.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing. But God willing, these situations will be to heal some of the wounds that are there. And that's how we like to report them, in the joyous factor, not in the problematic factor.
Right.
So we'll report on the peaceful efforts of bringing both churches together, which is a blessing, obviously.
Right.
We're also going to listen to some songs, hymns, if you will.
Right after we do the spiritual vitamins, which are daily thoughts for today, we're going to be listening to Andrew Anthony with a Fanari of Life from the CD The Purpose of Life, which is actually Camp Fanari, based out of Chicago, with... You hear some young voices, given that we're now in the full swing of summer.
Okay.
And we'll also be listening to Icona with Paraklesis.
Okay. Those are special hymns that are offered to the Virgin Mary in intercession to God for our health and our salvation. Mm-hmm. So that's very special. And Icona, of course, has been a guest on our program.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I guess we better move on since we have such a wonderful show coming up.
Yes, we should. And as always, we begin with daily vitamins for spiritual growth day by day with Jesus through the church year. Many kinds of investments. There are certainly many kinds of investments out there. For example, there was a family in Colorado that tried unsuccessfully for years to save enough money to replace their ancient bathroom fixtures with new modern ones. But each year, as skiing time rolled around, it seemed the bathroom money went for a family skiing trip. The children are now grown. One of the sons recently wrote home to the parents. He talked about the annual skiing trips, the good times they had together, and how much he enjoyed them and how often he thought about them. His father said, "I can't imagine my son writing and saying, 'Dad, I sure remember our swell bathroom fixtures.'" The parents had chosen to invest in family togetherness, and it paid rich dividends. The finest investment parents can make is to provide a home where God is real and where parents and children come to Jesus every day in prayer. An investment in family togetherness and worship pays the richest dividends.
The outside world does not exist for a week. It's the best time of our lives, a blanket of security. Time spent apart, no getting back together. Memories shared, memories forever. Memories shared, memories forever. An opportunity to take responsibility upon yourself in a bigger family. It brings us closer to God above. Camp Fenari is our link to love. Camp Fenari is our link to love. Shout it out. Raise your hands. Shout it out.
Today is a very special day for Come Receive the Light. As you know, one of the goals of our broadcast is to help you discover the Orthodox Christian faith as handed down in both the Holy Spirit-directed traditions of the Church, as well as the written and inspired scriptures. Today, we ask for your support. If you are able to support this radio ministry with a generous gift of $100 or more, we would like to thank you by putting into your hands a hardcover copy of the highly acclaimed Thomas Nelson Publishers Orthodox Study Bible. Distributed by Conciliar Press, the Orthodox Study Bible is the only resource Bible with study aids and articles written from the Orthodox Christian perspective. The New Testament and Psalms are interpreted from the doctrinal foundation, and now, for the first time, you can study the Scriptures with the guidance of respected Orthodox scholars working with biblical traditions that go back to the apostles themselves. Come Receive the Light is a listener-supported ministry, and we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider a gift of any amount. But for those who are able to support us with a gift of $100 or more, we will send you the Orthodox Study Bible as our way of saying thanks. Call us right now at 1-877, the number 2, and the word receive. That's 1-877-273-2348. Speak with one of our representatives or leave your name and number, and Come Receive the Light will return your call promptly. Be sure to ask for your copy of the Orthodox Study Bible when you make your $100 commitment. Of course, you can use Visa or MasterCard. Now, once again, here are Father Christopher Metropoulos and Emmy Louveris.
Hello, come in. Are you here for the Goya meeting?
What's that?
Oh, well, that's what we call our youth group. You look so young, I thought you had come to join them.
No, but it sounds interesting. I enjoyed my youth as much as I'm sure they do. But I had to make some tough choices that I hope they never have to face.
What are you talking about?
Well, I was 18 and living in Athens in 1771.
Didn't the Turks occupy Greece at that time?
Oh, yes. One day, I was leaving the city with some farm tools, and the Turkish authorities detained me.
Why?
I was young, leaving town and carrying farm tools. They assumed that I was planning to aid the Greek guerrillas who lived in the surrounding countryside.
They didn't like that?
Oh, no. The Pasha, the local ruler, hated the guerrillas because they were always doing whatever they could to undermine the Turks.
What did the Turks do with you?
I was in prison for a month before they tried me.
Tried you? What was your crime? Carrying farm tools surely couldn't be against the law.
No, but being a Christian was definitely frowned upon. At the trial, I was told several times that all the charges would be dropped if I could, and I could go free if I became a Muslim.
What did you say?
There was nothing to say except, no, I will not become a Turk.
So what happened?
They took me directly to my execution. It caused quite a stir amongst the Athenians who protested and pleaded for my release.
It was probably pretty upsetting because you were so young.
Exactly. When they put the blade to my neck, though, I just told them to strike harder.
Wow. None of our young people will probably ever have to go through something like that.
True, but you never know when you'll have to defend your Christianity. I'll bet some of those kids in your youth group have had to speak up for Christ and their faith in him. Maybe they didn't risk their lives, but I'll bet they've risked rejection.
You're probably right. Peer pressure can be pretty powerful.
It sure can.
I guess even a very young person can be a martyr for the faith.
That's so true. I would like to stay for that youth group, you know.
Great. The kids will be happy to meet you.
And I'll be happy to meet them.
If you know who the mystery saint for this week is, you can give us a call at 1-877-2-RECEIVE. That's 1-877-273-2348. Or you can email us at interact@receive.org. Last week's mystery saint was Saint Innocent of Alaska, celebrated on April 13th and October 6th.
The apps of the heavens are you, O Lord, fashioner, and the Holy Church's great founder, likewise establish me in constant love for you, for you're the height of our longing, support of the faithful, the only friend of all. Most holy Theotokos, save us, our protection and shelter. Support of the faithful, the only all-praised one. Most holy Theotokos, save us. I entreat you, O Virgin, disperse the storm of my grief, and the soul's most inward confusion scatter it far from me. You are the Bride of God, for you have brought forth the Christ, the Prince of Peace, O all-blameless One. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, having brought forth unto us the cause and giver of good, from your great abundance of kindness pour forth upon us all, for all is possible for you who carry the Christ, who is mighty in power.
Now, from the seven continents of the globe, here is this week's International Orthodox News. Good day. With Orthodox News for the week of June 23rd, I'm Peter Yelanis. Pope John Paul II will take a message of peace and reconciliation to Ukraine when he travels there this month, a Vatican aide said. The Pope is not going to Ukraine on a political visit or to solve the internal problems of the Orthodox Church, said Archbishop Jean-Louis Touraine, the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States. The Holy Father, he said, is going in pilgrimage to Ukraine with a message of peace and reconciliation, emphasizing to all Christians, no matter what their confession or rite, that they can contribute to the good of the country. Most of Ukraine's population of 50 million inhabitants is Orthodox, though this confession is split by three schisms. Many of the Orthodox who are obedient to the Moscow Patriarchate oppose the papal visit. The population of Russia has recently become convinced that political power in the country is dealing responsibly with problems that are arising, and in many respects the situation has become more stable and predictable. This was the assessment expressed by Patriarch Alexis II of Moscow and all Rus in an interview published by the Roman newspaper Messahero, Itartas reports.
I know Vladimir Putin as a competent and responsible man, the patriarch continued. In the course of our personal meetings, a respectful attitude towards the Orthodox Church on the part of the head of state has emerged, and I view this with satisfaction. From the Vatican, the frail and ailing Pope John Paul II will travel to Ukraine on Saturday for one of his more controversial visits amid strong opposition from the former Soviet Republic's Orthodox Church. Concerned that extremists may dispute the pontiff's visit to the capital Kiev and predominantly Catholic Lviv in western Ukraine has prompted officials to train extra police officers to protect the head of the Roman Catholic Church from possible attacks. Some Orthodox faithful believe that the Catholic Church is seeking to convert Ukrainians following the fall of the Soviet Union. The Kiev government invited the 81-year-old Pope against the wishes of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which is subordinate to the Russian Orthodox Church and the dominant faith in the country of 50 million. Moscow's Patriarch Alexei II warned in March that the Pope's visit could further strain relations between his church and the Vatican at a time when the Roman Catholic Church is seeking closer interreligious ties. From Nicosia, Kyrenia Bishop Pavlos expressed on Monday in a letter his strong protest and grave concern regarding the new destruction of the religious heritage of Cyprus by Turkish troops that illegally occupy the northern part of the island since 1974. Turkey, still occupying by force our island, he said, has not only stripped our churches of their icons, frescoes, and sacred vessels, but even changed many of them into Muslim mosques, storerooms, and latrines, he adds in the letter. Recently, Turkish Cypriot newspaper Avrupa published an article on the destruction of the Panagia of Thermia Church in Turkish-occupied Kyrenia, as well as the transformation of a nearby recently excavated Greek Orthodox cemetery into a nightclub and restaurant. The municipalities of Gera on the Greek island of Lesbos and of Altinoluk in Turkey were twinned on Saturday in the first twinning of municipalities from the two countries in the history of Greek-Turkish relations. The event was attended by Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomeos, Minister of the Aegean Nikos Sifounakis, mayors and representatives of social agencies, and of the political world. Gera Mayor Voyatsis said, "Our act does not constitute an intervention in the foreign policies of our governments," adding that it only symbolizes the will of the two peoples for peaceful cohabitation in the Aegean. Bartholomeos blessed the twinning of the two municipalities and planted an olive tree together with the two mayors while saying that we believe and proclaim that relations between Greeks and Turks should be relations of friendship, cooperation, and good neighborliness in the interest of both countries. From San Diego, lined up one after another, young people waited for a chance to lean into the microphone and ask the national leader of their church questions about faith. Why is there so much ritual? How do church names get chosen? And just where did God live before there was heaven? His Eminence Archbishop Demetrius, his long gray beard overlapping his even longer black robe, leaned on his staff and smiled. Meeting with youth has become a custom of his since taking over nearly 2 years ago as the spiritual leader of the 1.5 million Greek Orthodox Church in America. His visit this weekend to Saints Constantine and Helen Greek Orthodox Church in Cardiff would be no exception. "Each one of you is a temple of God," the 73-year-old primate told the children and teenagers who sat in a downstairs community room at the church with parents and other adults. He said he requested yesterday's youth rally and others like it because young people aren't just the future of the church, but the present as well. From the world of Orthodoxy, this has been this week's International Orthodox News. I'm Peter Yelanis.
Μεγαλύνει η ψυχή μου τον Κύριο και η Γαλλία σε το πνεύμα μου επί το Θεό, επί το Θεό.
μεγαλύνει η ψυχή μου.
Been listening to Megalini I Psichimu by George Delaris, and also we're going to listen to Psalm 3, the Schola Cantorum of St. Peter's in the Loom. So, Father, tell us, what is Megalini I Psichimu?
It means, my soul magnifies the Lord. And, of course, that's a fabulous CD. We've received a lot of compliments about that.
Yes.
George Delaris and a full orchestra, actually taking ancient hymns of the church and adding orchestration to them.
Right.
Years ago, in the ancient times of the church, we read many things, the lyre and the harp. Different instruments were used when they did services.
Right.
So this is sort of a, I don't want to say a total reintroduction of that, but I think an attempt going back to listen to hymns in a different fashion.
And
Mr. Delaris, of course, is very well, he's world known and did a fabulous job with many of these hymns. We have some very exciting programs coming up, aside from, of course, our program of today.
Right.
Could you go over maybe the next couple of guests that we're going to have?
Next week, we're going to have Father Patrick Reardon, who is an author. He's written a book entitled Christ in the Psalms, and we look forward to learning more about that book that he wrote. And also, he's part of the Touchstone magazine. We'll hear a little bit about that also. We have a compilation of interviews coming up from SCOBA.
Those are the interviews that I did when I was in Washington at the second meeting of all the Orthodox bishops in North America.
Right, and SCOBA stands for?
Standing Conference of Orthodox Bishops in America.
Right.
So we're very excited. I interviewed an archbishop from Romania, Archbishop Nathaniel, Metropolitan Theodosius, Archbishop Demetrius.
Now, we look forward
to
hearing
all over the map
on
that.
Sure.
So we look forward to that one.
Right. And then we also have scheduled Father John Chrysavgis, who's going to be speaking about orthodoxy and that perspective on it, on the environment.
You mean we have to care about the environment, huh?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, okay. Well, I look forward to that one and learning about the environment and how we care. Actually, we're a part of the environment more than we know.
Right. That's going to be a really interesting
program.
And
you listen to that show, I'm sure you'll see something very
enlightening.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And also in the month of July, we'll be interviewing Father Michael Chambord, who's going to be talking about living in an Orthodox world. He's comprised a CD. He's comprised a summer Bible vacation school curriculum. And his latest CD out is Kids TLC, which is Kids That Love Church. So we're going to learn about this wonderful ministry and how he's involved and how we can become involved in that. And to round off the interviews for the month of July, we're going to have James Kushner, who's the executive editor of Touchstone Magazine, which I mentioned earlier. And he will talk to us a little bit more about this publication, which is a forum where the three major Christian faiths come together in peace to write articles of interest and thought. So it's Catholicism, the Protestant Church, and the Orthodox Church.
Fabulous. That should be very interesting to listen to that interview.
We have some great interviews coming up.
So this summer is not a time to take a vacation from the radio, is what
not
you're saying.
Not for us, it's not, no.
Okay. So we work hard, and we continue to work for our listeners and bring you the best that Orthodoxy has to offer. Why don't we move on at this point?
Let's.
At the beginning of today's broadcast, we spoke of a very special offer we'd like you to take advantage of. For a limited time, we are making available a hardcover copy of the Thomas Nelson Publishers Orthodox Study Bible to everyone who supports this radio ministry with a gift of $100 or more. It is the only edition of the New Testament and Psalms written from the Orthodox Christian perspective and is a treasure that should be in every Orthodox home. Come Receive the Light is a listener-supported ministry, and as such, we encourage you to consider a gift of any amount. But for those who are able to contribute a gift of $100 or more, we will send you the Orthodox Study Bible as our way of saying thanks. Please call us now at 1-877-2-RECEIVE. That's 1-877-273-2348. Speak with one of our representatives or kindly leave your name and number and Come Receive the Light will return your call promptly. Now, back to your program.
How many are rising up against me? How many are saying, Abba, Father, Lord, have
It is our pleasure today to have with us on the program His Eminence Metropolitan Methodius of the Greek Orthodox Diocese of Boston. Welcome, Your Eminence.
Thank you very much, Father Chris.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. I want to first let our listeners know, and we thank you sincerely for the efforts you have done to bring the Come Receive the Light radio program to your diocese. This is the first diocese that has really embraced the program, and much of that credit belongs to you, Your Eminence. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I hope that more and more communities from New England and throughout the country support this radio outreach. I think it's very important, and I've heard the program, and I congratulate you for its content.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to read a few things. Our discussion today with His Eminence will deal with his actual finding his way into the priesthood. I remember meeting His Eminence when he served as archdeacon to His Eminence Archbishop Iakovos for many, many years. I think you were the longest archdeacon there.
At that time.
At that time. That was the longest time. But some of the things that truly have impressed me in the Millennium Letter, if I could go to that for a minute, and then I think from there we can go into your own experience of finding your way into the priesthood and the Lord finding you, of course. It says in, it was paragraph 6 that mentioned, we also invite all people of goodwill to listen to the good news of salvation. Orthodox Christianity has a distinctive understanding of the Christian message that speaks profoundly to the need that people of our time have for the knowledge of the true God. Because the Orthodox Church reaches back to the very foundations of Christianity, she has an experience of the spiritual life that is deep and nuanced. Because the Orthodox Church is composed of millions of believers who struggle with the cares and the responsibility of life, she also knows of the particular challenges we face every day. Your Eminence, could you take us through your walk into the priesthood when you decided to become a priest and how that came about for your life? Do you mind sharing that with us?
No, not at all. I owe my priesthood to, of course, the call from God, but I must give all of the credit for my answering the call to my family. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to be a priest from as long as I can remember, from the fourth grade. We were a church-going family. I was not dissuaded from the priesthood as many young men are today, unfortunately. I was encouraged that if I had a call and this is what you think you want to do in your life, by all means pursue it. And which is quite different than many young men experience today. As you know, I was president of Holy Cross Hellenic College for 5 years, and I went around the country encouraging young men to answer the call positively if they had it. Let me share an experience with you. I had up to 6 men that are in their middle 50s, and some of them, a couple of them in the early 60s, that have come to my office asking information about getting ordained at this stage in their lives, what they could do. And I said, well, why did you come now and not when you were in your 20s? And they told me that their parents didn't want them to, they had a call, but their parents and their friends sort of did not encourage them, did not recommend to them that they pursue this life. And we lost 5 priests for so many years.
Sure.
But I was just the opposite. I was born in a home that was very ecclesial. We churched ourselves often down at the cathedral in New York. And I served in the altar, and I think it was in the altar, inspired by my parish priest then. And then when Archbishop Iakovos came, I was just a youngster in the cathedral school, and he was an inspiration for me, and the rest is history.
That's amazing. That's a great story, but it's very true. I also had the privilege to serve at the seminary as the dean of admissions, and I traveled around the country, and I experienced exactly the same thing that you're mentioning. There was parish pressure, there was a peer pressure, and there was a parental pressure.
Right. And it was, I always stress, even today, you know, when I touch your altar boys around the diocese, I always say that I hope that among you there's someone that may have a call, and I tell the parents that, you know, if your son really has this inclination and really feels that he's been called, encourage him into that the way of life. You know, the seminary does not recruit priests. You don't recruit somebody
right.
For this life. Either he has a calling for it, or it's best that he that he not become a priest. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's no reason to enter the priesthood if for any other reason except to serve God and to serve the people of the church.
I have found, Your Eminence, and I imagine you have too, that people long to know God, and that we are entrusted with the responsibility to bring a message of salvation to people. But God's action in reaching out to us also seeks a response from us.
That's right.
Could you respond possibly to that for us?
Well, I'm reminded of the parable of the prodigal son, where we learn from the gospel text that the father was always seeking the son, the prodigal. He was out waiting for him. Mm-hmm. It's always, of course, I bring that as an example, that God always, always makes the first move. Mm-hmm. He always wants to embrace us. He always wants us to return home. And the effort, if he sees just a little effort on our part, then salvation is ours. We become one with him. And it's especially the case, I think, with ministry, that God is always calling certain men in the community to the priestly life, and he respects our free will to accept that call or to reject it. But it's always the case, and I always stress that a priest in a parish must take the position of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. Our parishes today must be Jacob's wells, where life sojourners may come and dialogue with Christ. And in this case, the parish priest must be in a position to dialogue with his parishioners, to reach out to not only those entrusted to his care, but to every human being that may walk into his church seeking the truth. And if we really believe that Orthodoxy is the well of spiritual truth, then we must be, as priests and laymen, willing to sit down at Jacob's well and seek the truth.
That brings us that'll segue beautifully into our discussion of the diocese itself. But the communities really are centers of healing and reconciliation, as you've said, centered upon Christ and the gospel, no doubt about that.
Right.
Can we go into and discuss your diocese and the Diocese of Boston and some of the fabulous things that, and that's not any flattery at all, that's fact, that are happening in that diocese? I remember as a student there some 25 years ago, seeing the diocese beginning, and now under your leadership, with the assistance, of course, of your clergy and the laymen, it has truly flowered. Could we talk about how many parishes, the priests, the programs, things of that nature?
Sure. This is a historic diocese, and I was blessed by God in 1984 to be called to serve here. The diocese is comprised of 63 communities throughout the New England states. We estimate about a quarter of a million members that church themselves throughout New England. The great advantage here in New England is that all of the parishes are within, except for two, are within driving distance of the diocese. So I get to all of the parishes quite regularly. The other day, of course, on my feast day, just about all of the priests came. So we see each other often. We're able to pray together, to dialogue together, to plan together. And, of course, we are also very blessed to have the gem of Archdiocese, the theological school in our college, right next door to the diocese. So I think New England has been blessed to be the most active area for a most important area for Orthodoxy throughout the United States. And we've developed programs, again, to try to address the needs of our people. One of the first programs that we started many years ago was the marriage preparation seminars, mm-hmm. again to help our young people prepare themselves for marriage. And what we do is we ask the couples to come to either to the diocese or to four other centers throughout New England to prepare themselves in two sessions together with other young people for the great sacrament of marriage. And of course, it's comprised not only of going through the service itself, but really delving into the issue of marriage, the holiness of marriage, the problems that may come up in marriage. And there was about 2 years ago, one of my coordinators told me that there were 100 couples that, after going through the program, decided not to marry because they realized through those sessions and through those through the dialogue that the person that they were planning to marry, they really didn't know, and that marriage with that other person was not for them. And you know, we saved, of course, 100 sure divorces.
Sure.
Because if they didn't know that the person they were going to marry was the right person, then you can imagine what would have happened 6 months or a year later. And the divorce rates throughout the archdiocese throughout America are troubling. And surely these marriage preparation seminars hopefully help people to make mature decisions in this very important aspect of life.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
So, in other words, every couple that is married in the diocese must attend these seminars.
Yes, we don't give a license to marry.
Very good.
Unless they go through these sessions.
That's wonderful.
And that I'm happy to say that several other dioceses are beginning this program. Of course, it's much easier for us in New England because the parishes are very close together. I imagine it's difficult to do in Denver or in California even the Diocese of Chicago, which is geographically very, very much spread out. But at least even in the faraway parishes in the diocese, we're able to ask our couples at least on two occasions to make the effort. And most of them do. At the beginning, of course, there was questions, and even from among the priests, is this necessary? But thank God it's going very well. And now we're trying to go into a second phase where we call these married couples back after a year of marriage or after 5 years of marriage and say, well, what's happening? How are you getting, you know, how do you see life now? Have you brought children into the world? How has your life changed? And, you know, just try to minister them as best as we possibly can as the diocese and, of course, on the parish level. I've always said that the work of the church is done on the local level. It's, to use a very frayed expression, that's where the tire or the rubber hits the road. I mean, it's the battle of Christian life is engaged in the parish level with the parish priest in his daily contacts with his parishioners. And what we try to do as a diocese is try to encourage our priests, try to give them as much preparation as possible and encouragement as possible to do that work.
That's wonderful. That's a great program. Tell us, if you will, about the camp that has begun, or the retreat center, because that's a tremendous facility that's been...
Yes, thanks to, the great generosity of many of our parishioners, first and foremost, Margot and George Barakas, who have donated over $1.5 million to that institution of ours in near Kentucket, New Hampshire, and many, many others, countless other great benefactors, and the support of all of our parishes and their parishioners. We were able to purchase a 200-acre property near Concord, New Hampshire, and we have begun not only a very successful camp program. A camp program existed for about 10 years before we bought the property, but now we have a place of our own on two lakes. There are over 35 buildings on the site. There's a chapel being renovated now, and we've had just a tremendous spiritual experience in the summer for our children's 5-week program, including this year for the first time 1 week for children with special needs. The camp and retreat center is used throughout the year by adults from Philoptichos chapters, parish council retreats. Senior citizens go for picnics and for relaxation and spiritual refreshment. It's a facility that's used 12 months of the year. Of course, in the middle of winter, it's difficult to get up there because we get a lot of snow in New Hampshire. But believe it or not, the retreats in the winter are also very good experiences. And I'm grateful to the priests and the parishioners of New England that have been so very, very supportive.
That's wonderful. That's a fabulous program. We're hearing wonderful things about it. And as a matter of fact, one of our presentations several weeks ago was on youth ministry. And we mentioned all of the summer camps that are available throughout the nation, and there are quite a few. But some are special. Some have really been uplifted, and we appreciate that.
Well, I've been blessed here with, from the very beginning, I've been blessed with very good co-workers. The youth directors throughout the years have been really inspirational people that love children. And currently it's one of our graduates, Phil Moussis, and another graduate, Michael Sintros, is the director of the Camp and Retreat Center, and they're really doing a wonderful job. They love people, and they have enormous enthusiasm for the work of the church, and the success of that project is really theirs. The other institution, actually it's not an institution, it's a home, is the Philoxenia House,
yes,
which I think has gotten the support and earn the support of every individual in New England. What we do, we have a home on the corner of the campus of our college that gives hospitality to our brethren from all over the world, mostly from Greece, that come to this country for medical care. And we provide room and board for them at no cost, of course. And we have volunteers that escort them to the hospitals and are their translators. And I have seen, I can tell you, I have seen miracles during the 15 years that home has been operating. The other night at the reception for my feast day, a 7-year-old blind boy came with his mother and she said, my son wants to play something on his violin. And I said, of course, I'd be honored. And the boy played Bach and Beethoven on his violin so beautifully. I was brought to tears, and so was everybody in that room. We've it's such a beautiful ministry. We meet people that are so much in need of our love and Christian embrace that they leave and go back to Greece, never forgetting the experience.
All right. Your Eminence, we're going to take a break for a moment, and we'll be right back with you. Please stay with us. Our special guest today is His Eminence Metropolitan Methodius of the Greek Orthodox Diocese of Boston. We are back with our special guest today, His Eminence Metropolitan Methodius of the Greek Orthodox Diocese of Boston. Welcome, Your Eminence, once again.
Thank you again.
I'm reminded in our interview of the fact that God is directly present in creation and in a real and in a vital way. St. Gregory of Palamas articulated this when he spoke about the differences, I think, between God's essence and energies. He used the image of the sun and the rays. He said, like the sun, God's inner reality is inaccessible to us. But like the rays of the sun, he is constantly giving us light and warmth. And I believe that from what I've heard today with you, that this light and warmth is definitely coming to us through the Diocese of Boston. How many clergy work with you? How many parishes make up the Diocese of Boston, Your Eminence?
There are 63 communities directly under my episcopal responsibilities are the priests of the parishes. I'm also blessed to have priests that serve at the seminary and the college next door, and they are kind enough to also serve liturgy on occasion in our parishes in New England. And I would say a total there must be about 75 or 80 priests in the area.
Okay. And very soon you will be leaving, I know, to go to Istanbul, to Constantinople, on the third or fourth trip over there. I know these have been tiring issues dealing with the the finalization of the charter of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. That's another program for another time. But we wish you Godspeed in that trip. We wish you a safe trip.
Thank you very much. I do hope that things go well in Constantinople and that the church here in the United States be recognized by the Mother Church as a church that has a daughter church that has matured and is in the position now to make decisions locally. But again, that's an issue for another program. What I want to stress is that we here as a church must continue to work together. We have very good priests, dedicated men of God, and we're also blessed with a God-fearing laity. And we must work together in one mind and in one heart as we pray during the Divine Liturgy for the projection of our faith here in America. We are called. This is the time for Orthodoxy in America, and I think that we must come together and see that vision and walk together.
Thank you, Your Eminence. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Again, have a safe trip, and we will speak to you when you return.
God bless you and continued success for Come Receive the Light.
Thank you, sir.
God grant you many years, God grant you many years, God grant you many, many years.
Wasn't that a great interview?
Very good, very good. Another wonderful show, Emmy. Before we close out, why don't we mention who called in, or I guess they probably emailed and faxed us in, the Saint of the Week. Who was that? Somebody from the North, I think.
Yes, Margaret Hutchinsky from Roslindale, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. She had the correct Saint of the Week from last week, who was Saint Innocent.
And we'll be sending her a Come Receive the Light t-shirt to Boston, actually to Roslindale.
Right.
We should encourage our South Florida listeners to get on the stick here, because a lot of the people from the North, we had a winner from Canada.
That's right.
From the Boston area.
That's right. Get on the ball here.
Those of you in South Florida, come on.
Let's go.
Why don't we talk about next weekend's show? Who's coming up again?
Right. Let's just remind everybody that Father Patrick Reardon is going to be with us, author of Christ in the Psalms, and also a senior editor for the Touchstone magazine.
Could you read us a portion of that theme, or I guess it would be the mission statement for Touchstone magazine?
I'm very impressed. Well,
very
good.
Impressed,
you know, give
that.
Me five.
You want a little notice on that?
No,
right?
Okay, I have it. I have it. Let me just pull it out of my hand.
And one of our shows is going to be specially, but go ahead, read that.
Yeah. A Christian journal, conservative in doctrine and eclectic in content, with editors and readers from each of the three great divisions of Christendom, Protestant, Roman Catholic, and Orthodox. The mission of the journal and of its publishers, the Fellowship of St. James, is to provide a place where Christians of various backgrounds can speak with one another on the basis of shared belief in the fundamental doctrines of the faith as revealed in Holy Scripture and summarized in the ancient creeds of the Church.
And what show would that be? When is that coming up in July?
I'm sure we could probably finagle something out of Father Patrick when he's here with us next week, even though he'll be talking about his book. But we're going to specifically be speaking to the executive editor of Touchstone for, let's see, really quick, the show on July the 28th. That would be James Kushner.
Wow, that'll be a fabulous show.
It will be, yeah.
Fabulous show.
We look forward to that.
You know, I just had email is great today. We do a lot of our work here at the radio ministry with email. And before we sign off today, of course, we want to thank everyone that does visit our site. The site has been visited. Now, actually, the visits have tripled in the past 4 months.
It's amazing.
And we have people listening to the program from 36 different countries and from all of the, not all of, but many military installations, which means that a lot of the armed services personnel are listening all over the world. There's really no Orthodox presence aside from an occasional chaplain that will come by.
Right, right.
So this weekly supplement of Orthodox faith is a wonderful thing for our armed services people. And for any of you that might be listening in our armed services, we wish you God's blessings and many, many angels to surround you and protect you in the most important job you have of defending us so that we can live in this free country that we live in and the world that we live in. It's a very important ministry that they have, too, as armed services people. But it's exciting that people are starting to listen all over the world.
Right.
So when we say a national program, I guess someday we'll have to say international. We could probably even say that now.
Right. It can be accessed.
But we're hoping that God continues to bless us. Of course, this is listener supported. And
yes,
please
absolutely.
Know that your donations are a great help to us. Let me read to you, Emmy, and to our listeners, a great psalm. It's called Psalm 23 for the workplace. Do I have time for this? Yes, I do. Okay. The Lord is my boss. I shall not want. He gives me peace when chaos is all around me. He reminds me to pray before I speak in anger. He restores my sanity. He guides my decisions that I might honor him in all that I do. Even though I face absurd amounts of email, system failures, copier jams, backordered supplies, unrealistic deadlines, staff shortages, budget cutbacks, red tape, downsizing, gossiping co-workers, and whining customers, I won't give up, for you are with me. Your presence, peace, and power will see me through. You raise me up, even when the boss fails to promote me. You claim me as your own, even when the company threatens to let me go. Your loyalty and love are better than a bonus check. Your retirement plan beats any 401k, and when it's all said and done, I'll be working for you a whole lot longer. Thanks be to God. These are some of the emails that people send us.
That one's really
and
good.
If you've got emails like this that are special.
Especially if you're anywhere near a corporate environment, that's...
means a lot, right?
Yeah.
Share it with us. Send it to us. Again, visit our website at www.receive.org. Have a good week, Emmy.
Have a great and blessed week. We'll be back with you next week with Father Patrick Riordan.
This concludes another broadcast of the Come Receive the Light radio program from our studios in St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Today's program has been underwritten in part by Leadership 100, the Pan-Orthodox Clergy Brotherhood of Southeast Florida, the Greek Orthodox Parishes of Southeast Florida, St. Demetrius Church, Weston, Massachusetts, St. Senia Church, Methuen, Mass., Annunciation Church, Woburn, Mass., St. George Church, Lynn, Mass., Taxiarchy Archangels Church, Watertown, Mass., and the benefactors and givers of light sponsors, James W. Pijos, Drs. Anthony and Joyce Kales, Gary and Diane Paxinos, the Angelakos family, and Mr. John Klinas. If you enjoy this radio ministry, please call us toll-free at 1-877-273-2348 or visit our website at www.receive.org. For Father Christopher Metropolis, Emmy Luveris, and Ron Spiegel, this is Peter Yelanis. In Christ's name, have a blessed week.